Father, we thank you that you are a God who not only came to seek and save us, but also to seek and adopt us. We thank you, Father, that we can call you Father. And God, I also want to thank you for our precious brother, friend, and partner, Paul, and that you've given him your heart many, many years ago, not just to adopt, but also to help your church around the world engage with the things of your heart. And we pray blessings of strength upon him, upon his team, upon his family. We pray that their time in Korea will be joy-filled, spirit-led, and edifying to the whole body of Christ. And God, we thank you for all who have gathered here, and we do trust that you are pleased. Lord, we know that you are delighted. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill this place. Speak to us, change us. And above all else, Lord, we ask that you would awaken your church this weekend. Through today, let the fruit of today's meeting also impact and influence the greater church around the world to begin caring for the orphans that you love so deeply. And Lord, with Orphan Sunday tomorrow as well, we ask that you will awaken your church around the world to become leaders in this fight for those who are oppressed, for the voiceless in the cities, in the communities that you have called us to live in. And Lord, we pray that one day soon, these hundreds of millions of orphans will find both a physical home to be cared for, and especially a spiritual home to know their true Father in heaven that loves them. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, thank you for coming. You know, this has been a historic year for adoption in Korea. You know, laws have been changing, policies are forming, and partnerships are strengthening within governments, within NGOs, but especially within churches. This has really been a phenomenal year that we want to give God thanks for. And today's workshop with Hope for Orphans and Paul also marks a new beginning of partnership with Hope for Orphans and the church in Korea, which we also give God thanks for. Hope for Orphans is a leader in the U.S. In not only raising awareness of adoption and orphan care, but also in the provision of great resources and supports for the local church to strengthen its ministries for orphan care around the world. And again, I do want to thank Paul Pennington and his leadership team for coming to Korea and serving us generously with their time, service, but also their resources. So if we could give just a hand of thanks for what they have done. We do truly thank you. And also we begin today by looking at God's heart connected with adoption and with the orphan. You know, this too is a historic gathering today. That is the fruit of a meeting that I had back in January with Hannah Cook, which is with Hope for Orphans, one of her partners, Regina, and also with Angeline, who is part of our OEM ministry, who connected us. You know, ideas and possibilities that were shared in that meeting back January turned in, you know, the dreams that we were dreaming together, some of those turned into reality already this year, which, again, this meeting actually is a fruit and byproduct of that. So I want to do thank Hannah, Regina, and Angeline for their role in that. You know, there are a lot of elements on adoption that reflect the love and goodness of God, but I want to highlight just a few today. So if you can follow along with me in your outlines, but also have your Bibles ready. The first thing that we want to remember for us is that adoption was God's plan from the beginning. So this really was God's plan that he conceived even before the world began. So if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, we want to look at verses 3 to 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he what? Chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And in love," verse 5, "he predestined us for what? For adoption. He predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will." And this is the crux of why we as a church celebrate and honor adoption. And it is because God is the one who, before the creation and the foundation of all the world began, He conceived us. This was His plan for us. So Paul is praising God in the opening verses of this letter to the Ephesian church. And this is a long, drawn-out praise as he is reflecting on the beauty, the majesty, the love, the goodness of God. And he is in exaltation and celebration of all that God is towards us. And at the center of it, he is praising God as he is reflecting on the sovereign selection of God towards us to adopt us as sons and daughters of the King, even before the foundation of the world. That is phenomenal. And so he is thinking about this, that before anything was even formed in creation, before a star was in place, before any rivers or mountains was in place, what God had in mind was to adopt a people for himself. Amen? That is amazing. Look at verse 5 again. It says, in love he predestined us for adoption. Right? He didn't just predestine us for forgiveness of sin, but he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So adoption was God's plan from the beginning of all time. And look at Galatians 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, and that means when God's perfect timing, when God's perfect season of his master plan had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? To redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So the plan of God's redemption through Jesus Christ's incarnation and crucifixion was also centered on God's adoption plan for us. And so this is phenomenal, these verses in Galatians. He's saying before even this incarnation happened, before even his crucifixion and resurrection happened, why did all these things happen? It was because of God's plan for adoption. Adoption is central to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This doctrine is central to the gospel that we celebrate. His plan was not only to bring forgiveness for sins. His plan was not only to give us eternal life with him. His plan was to make us children of God through the beauty of adoption. Amen? So adoption was God's idea. Adoption was God's creation. This concept was God's creation, not man's creation. This whole concept of adoption was God's great idea from the start. And so we honor adoption because adoption was God's plan from the beginning. Amen? So that's the first thing that we want to honor and celebrate. Secondly, adoption was not only God's plan, but also adoption is God's picture. Adoption is God's picture of his unconditional love for his children. Through selection and through affection, adoption is a picture of God's love for us. Look at Romans 8:15. Let's read that together, shall we? Ready, begin? For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, what this is emphasizing here is that we do not need to fear our relationship with God. That's not how God intended for us to live in fear or intimidation. But what his desire was is for us to live in intimacy with him because of his unconditional love for us. One of God's reasons for creating adoption with us is that we might experience passionate intimacy with God. To have a relationship with God where we do not cry out to him, Master or just Lord, but Abba, Father. That's his ultimate desire for you. That's the kind of relationship God desires to have with you. And that is why he formed it. You know, this past year for our ministry in OEM, you know, I've touched upon here and there how a lot more people have been, we've been seeing each other as a spiritual family. And that even more people in OEM are starting to call me dad or father or daddy. Not just symbolically, but to physically, to really call me that. And one of the things that I noticed happening is as they would write or call or talk or email me with that phrase, daddy or dad, that really changed our relationship. It really changed how we view each other with a lot more intimacy and a lot more affection. And that was God's desire for us. Deeper intimacy, deeper love, but also deeper security. So that we would understand, for God to talk to us, God is saying to us, hey, my home is your home. And for us to be secure in that. Where we can take our shoes off, where we can change into our comfortable clothes, be ourselves, and enjoy the gift of family with God forever. And that was God's desire. And that's also what Jesus meant when he said, in my Father's house are many rooms. This tells us that God loves having a big family with lots of kids. Also, when Jesus tells us, you know, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. And so we get glimpses into the heart of God, but also to the heart of heaven. And that heaven is God's house for his kids, for all of them. And all of them are adopted. And it is also a picture of the nature of God's heart. We see through adoption a picture of what is really valuable to the heart of God. And what do we see there? That for God, the most vulnerable in society are the most valuable in the kingdom. There are few people more vulnerable in the world than the orphan. Therefore, there are few people in this world that are more valuable than the orphan. And so when we begin caring for the most vulnerable in society, we are caring for the people who are most valuable to the heart of God. So what we do to the least of them, we do it unto him. The orphan is the MVP of God's kingdom. So caring for them brings great honor and delight to God. You see, the gospel is to be both verbal and visible. It must be both declared and demonstrated. And the care of orphans, and especially through adoption and the love and care of these orphans, the gospel becomes a visible picture of God's grace and love towards us. So adoption is God's plan. It is God's picture. And thirdly, adoption is God's partnership with us. Adoption is God's partnership with us to share in the giving of grace to others in this world. Look at John 13:34. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, just as I have cared for you, just as I have embraced you as an orphan, now as family, so you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The life we are to live is one where we look and love like God loves us. Also, Hosea 14:3 says, Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more our God to the work of our hands. In you, the orphan finds mercy. That is a beautiful reflection of the heart of God. It is in the heart of God, in God, the orphan finds mercy. So in God, the orphan finds mercy, and that is to be a reflection of his body, the church of Jesus Christ. It is now to be in the church also where the orphan finds mercy, because we represent God to this world. Amen? And that is why we are here. So in us, the orphan is to find mercy. And James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit and care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And as Paul mentioned earlier, not everyone is called to adopt. But all of us in Christ, we are called to love and care for the orphans. Some of you, it'll mean volunteering in services to orphanages. Others, it will mean giving financially to organizations and families to help them adopt. And for others, it may mean helping through the foster care ministry as well. But whatever it looks like, we are to look like Jesus through his love, compassion, and mercy, to value those who are so valuable to him. And so this workshop is a great step in that direction. You know, God's sovereignty is pretty amazing. I think it's cool that this is the same week, 17 years ago, that Paul was in Korea to pick up his child, but also to have this adoption workshop the same weekend as Orphan Sunday, which is tomorrow. That's pretty amazing. But also to have our series on Galatians fall on Galatians chapter 4, which speaks of adoption tomorrow. I mean, all of that is amazing sovereignty of God. Amen? That's pretty cool. So that tells us this is very deep on God's heart. And above all else, I'm really thankful that we can celebrate this weekend our adoption in Christ. And that God has selected each one of you to be a part of this historic gathering and movements that we are helping to create for this nation, to care for every orphan. The 1.3 million orphans in this country alone, to care for the 163 million orphans around the world. You see, because of how beautiful adoption is and because of how central it is to the gospel, the enemy hates it and is seeking to stop it, even in Korea. The government is seeking to decrease adoptions by 10% every year until it's no longer available in this country. And so there is warfare involved with it, which is why we need to be engaged as a church, but also engaged in prayer for this as a church. Amen? And so that's what I want to do. I want to begin with prayer. So if we could pray right now, I want to guide us just in a few important prayer topics concerning this issue for this nation. And if we could spend a few moments in prayer for the church to arise in leading this role for adoption as well. So can we pray right now for God's glorious kingdom to come in Korea, for God's redemptive will to be done? Pray for the government policies to change in favor of adoption. Because for me, I don't get discouraged when I hear these policies because God can change them. And so we want to pray into that. And I could assure you there probably are not a lot of believers in this country praying for adoption, praying for this issue. So we need to begin. And I believe that the government policies can change as well. And also let's pray for the church in Korea to rise up and lead the way in adopting and caring for the orphans in this nation. And also for this weekend to truly be a blessing for the church around the world. Can we do that? Let's pray. Let's pray for God's kingdom to come, God's will to be done, for policies to change, and for the church to awaken and rise up for this issue. Let's pray together for that.